Well, welcome, everybody. It's our pleasure here for the Storytelling and Organization Special Interest Group to have a special guest from South Korea, Sing-ah Kim. Welcome, Sing-ah.
Hi. Hi from South Korea, real South Korea. I'm so glad that I make this happen in South Korea.
Yes.
So this is real.
Yes, and this is a really exciting time, and we really thank you because it's 4 a.m. Sing-ah's time, and here in the U.S. it's 3 o'clock Eastern time and only noon in the Pacific region. So you've made a special sacrifice to be with us, and we appreciate that.
My pleasure also. I'm so honored to be participate in this conference call, and then thank you for making me an early bird from It's an early morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And there's just a wonderful description of you, Sing-ah, is that we'll get into some of the different things you are doing, but to be the first contemporary professional storyteller in South Korea is, I would guess, a huge honor and very exciting. Could we just start by telling us a little bit about your work and what that means to be a contemporary professional storyteller?
Mm-hmm. In old days, we had storytellers as performers. And as an artist, but nowadays, when people think of, storyteller, which means English teacher, sometimes Korean teacher, or sometimes teachers for children, sometimes writers.
Mm-hmm.
But as an art form, I've introduced the storytelling to Korean people to revive our lost tradition.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And how long have you been doing that as your work?
Yeah, I've been doing it for 10 years, since 2007. But I started this seriously since my grandmother passed away, because I thought all the stories from her were I like kind of a treasure to me. So I feel like I'm an heiress of a great heritage.
Mm. And it's that kind of heiress that, is that how, where you take your name from? Of the website?
You mean Arirang? Actually, Arirang is a famous Korean folk song. Or also it could be a dance. Actually, I can say arirang is Korean people's identity in culture and art. So when I adopted this name, it was in 2009, I started storytelling in Toronto. And then the storytellers in Toronto, they have gathered together since 1976, then the name of the gathering is 1001 Friday Night of Storytelling.
Mm.
In 2008, I started it in Seoul with a big help of the Toronto storytellers, especially my teacher, Linda House. So while she was visiting Korea, we started 1001 Wednesday Night of Storytelling. And then 2 years later, we had to celebrate the second anniversary of storytelling, and then I thought about the name. Maybe I can name it Arirang Night of Storytelling, because Arirang shows the Korean identity. At the same time, it sounds similar like Arabian Night. So I told my teacher, this is, maybe I can open an era of Arirang Night of storytelling from now on to introduce Korean culture and Korean stories.
Yes. Mm. And how's it been going?
It has been very tough in Korea because actually, you know, stories are something invisible. So that's why when people ask me to come and tell stories, they think it's kind of, you know, the free thing, you know. Then, but I've been working very hard in Korea to let people know this is an art form, they have to pay, and also I emphasize the value of storytelling as a strong tool to introduce Korean culture to people in the world because I tell stories in English. So nowadays, people start to think, oh, yes, storytelling is, you know, heart-to-heart communication. That's why maybe through storytelling we can introduce Korean culture and Korea to the people in the world because now Korean people are very interested in globalization of Korea. So it's less, you know, tough little by little.
And then in the organizations, you had written a little bit in our description that we put out to our members of like how the past stories and myths tie in to today's story. And there's a theme of helping humankind.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that, if you could.
Throughout the history of Korea, we strongly believe in the philosophy, I mean, political philosophy of Hongik Ingan, which means dedicated to the welfare of mankind. So when you think of a good leader and a good organization or good followers, they are all focused on, you know, Hongik Ingan philosophy. So how we can dedicate ourselves to the welfare of mankind and how can we help, you know, people in need. So I think nowadays, you know, after Korean War, Korean government and Korean people made a huge growth in economics. So then now people started to help, you know, more people in the world. So I think maybe as a good example of organizational storytelling, I can say, you know, the foundation of Korean, the Myth of Korean Foundation will be a good example and a kind of inspiring story. And also in Joseon Dynasty, we have a king called King Sejong the Great. Also, he invented the Hangul, Korean alphabet, to help people. So those things are kind of, you know, inspiring people motivate how they can function their organizations or their group or themselves to help more people in the world, in society.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned to me that there's a situation where there was donated cars to help an orphanage, and storytelling was part of that, which is maybe an example of organizational storytelling and benefiting mankind, humankind. What is that story?
Yeah, I think the last year, I have a friend who runs an orphanage in suburb of Korea. And then one day she posted on Facebook and she's looking for a used car because in her orphanage, there are so many babies who were abandoned. And then, as you know, once one baby started to be sick and it is very contagious, so soon all the babies in the orphanage, you know, became sick. But the orphanage is in a kind of isolated place, and then the road is so narrow, and that's why they always needed a small car, not a big car, to get babies to the hospital in an emergency situation. And then what she said on Facebook was, oh, we are looking for a used car. If it is out of order, we will fix it. So we will be very appreciated if somebody donates the car. Then I saw it and I made it into kind of, you know, advertisement, you know, like wanted. So we are looking for a gentle and warm-hearted car. We don't care about the age or which university graduated from. We only need a car who loves children and who wants to help children. But after you know, the car, after retirement, the car will get huge, you know, garage in heaven, and endless honor and respect from all people. And then people started to laugh, and then they said, oh, this is a good idea. And but usually I visited the orphanage to celebrate Children's Day in Korea. It is usually May the 5th. And then I was supposed to go visit the orphanage to tell stories, because my friend said, many people donate the money, but they don't come. So on that day, you know, children started to feel lonely because, you know, nobody, I mean, not many people are there. So that's why I decided to be there and tell stories. And then to prepare for that, I called my friend again. Oh, what time would be good for me to, you know, come there? Then she said, maybe 2 o'clock after lunchtime, then you can come and share your stories and play with children. Oh, that's good. And then I asked her, oh, what about, you know, what happened to the car? Did you get any donator? And she said, no. I was a little bit, you know, shocked. And then, oh, okay, then maybe I have to put my energy and effort to get some fund to buy your car. But, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I can buy you a new car, maybe a used car. If you like used car, then I can do it. So I called a friend of mine who is a car dealer, used car dealer, and I asked him, oh, how much, you know, does it cost to buy a good used car? And he said, maybe 5 million won. That's Korean currency. Oh, 5 million won. Okay, then I started to calculate. Maybe I have to get 100 people who donate 50,000 won so that I can get 5 million won. So, but I had to, you know, persuade people, so that I started to think, and then I posted on Facebook, I'm looking for 100 heroes and magicians who can turn tea into a car. Because in Korean word, tea and car, you know, pronounce the same. Cha, we say cha, you know. Tea is also cha, and car is cha. So I used the pun, and then I said, we are looking for 100 heroes and magicians who can turn into tea into a car. And then usually in Korean, you know, currency, 50,000 won note, there's a woman known as Korean mother. So she is a mother of a famous scholar in Joseon Dynasty, and then we call her, you know, the good mother, good example of a mother, or, you know, a good roles of all mothers in Korea. So what I said to people, then, you know what, if you don't drink coffee for 10 days, because coffee usually costs, you know, $5 in Korea, then for 10 days, you will get, you know, $50 worth, you know, 50,000 won. Then we can bring 100 mothers to the children in the orphanage. And then people started to move. And then they were so touched because, you know what, they need mothers. And then what we did is we created group chat, and then every day we, you know, invited the people who donated money, and then we started to count together. So, you know, one day it was 20 people, and the next day it was, you know, 25 people, and then it was like a kind of, you know, watching baseball game.
What's the score now?
And then they started to introduce this story to their friends and their families. And then, you know, it started to, you know, we started to get more people and more and more. Finally, the day before we were supposed to visit the orphanage with a car, we had, you know, 98 people. Then everyone was so, you know, embarrassed because we should get, you know, two more people. And then they started to call their friends and, you know, their families. Finally, we got 102 people. And everyone, you know, rejoiced. And then we screamed, even though it was a kind of, you know, chatting, you know, then, but we showed all, you know, happy emoticons together. And then finally, on that day, there were 45 people, and we were there, and I told stories, and a friend of mine from Sweden, she played the flute, and then the donators participated in the show, and then finally, we told, you know, one story, to children. I told the story. Once upon a time, there lived a mother who had a lot of, you know, children, but she was a widow. Every night, whenever her baby was sick, she had to run to get a doctor who lived in her neighborhood next to the village, and she ran and ran and ran every night. So, but that's the way she grew up her children. So one day she was about to die, and she left a will. My children, my only wish is I want to be born as a mother who runs faster in my next life. So the mother was born as a car. That car was there. So we named the car Mama Car. And children really loved it, and then they hugged the car. They kissed the car. Oh, it was one of the touching moments for all of us. And then we celebrated, you know, our success in donation. Then we started to call each other, we are all small heroes. We can help people no matter what, you know, and even though we are not rich people, then we can help people in our own way. Yeah.
Oh,
that's the story.
Yes. Oh, thank you. What a beautiful story, and it's an unusual use of story to set up the narrative of the key and the car and the mother. But yeah, that's really touching. Thank you, Singha. Is there another story that you'd like to share with us that might not?
Oh, yes. Actually, the Mama Car story event influenced me a lot. And then this year, I start to think about, you know, establishing storytelling center in Seoul to help more people, and then contribute, you know, myself for the society or, you know, world, or the people who want to know more about Korean culture. And then also it can show people how precious our tradition and stories are. then I, at the time, I was teaching storytelling to adults in Korea, and one day I had a chance to introduce one story called Hummingbird Story. Do you know that story, Hummingbird?
Yes, tell it to us, maybe.
Yeah, there was a big fire in the forest. All the animals were frightened, and they ran away from their house to save themselves. They ran and ran and ran, and finally they reached to the edge of river. And then they looked back, and they saw all the houses and trees, you know, burned down. And they sighed, and then they felt, you know, powerless and hopeless. And at the moment, a little hummingbird flew to the river, and she picked up a drop of water, and then she flew back to the fire, and she dropped it, and she, you know, went back and forth between the forest and the river. And her friends said, "Oh, I think you are doing silly things because you are too small. Your wings might be burned, and how can you put out the fire?" Then the hummingbird looked back and talked to her friends. "I'm just doing what I can do." And this story inspired me a lot. And then also think of the creation myth of Korea. The story goes like this. There's a heavenly king, and he had a son called, his name was Hwanin. And then Hwanung, and he always looked down the land to see people and he sighed. And one day his father came to him and asked, "Why do you sigh all the time whenever you look down the land and, you know, watch people?" And he said, "I'd love to go down and help people. Please send me to the earth." And finally he was sent down to earth with 3,000 followers and 3 ministers, minister of wind, minister of rain, and minister of clouds. And when they were descended to the earth, and they started to teach people about, you know, agriculture, grain storage, hunting, fishing, and also they educate people, and then they teach how to use medicine and how do the arts. So then the Hwanung created in a very peaceful country. But one day, a tiger and a bear visited Hwanung, and they said, "Our wish is to become human beings. Can you help us?" And then Hwanung said, "If you eat mugwort and garlic only for 100 days without seeing the sunlight, then you will become a human being." So the bear and the tiger found a cave, and they went inside and they stayed there only eating mugwort and garlic. But Tiger couldn't stand it anymore, so after a while, he ran away from the cave, but the bear stayed there for 100 days, and she transformed into a beautiful woman. And the Hwanung found her in the well under a sandalwood tree, and he fell in love with her, and they got married. And she gave birth to a baby, and that baby became the first king of Joseon and Korea. And his philosophy is, as I told you, Hongyeginggan, which means dedicate to the welfare of mankind. So since then, as a good leader or as a, you know, influential leader, people always regard that philosophy. So so that's why Hummingbird Story gave me strength. Even though, you know, I'm a tiny woman, but I can do what I can do. And then also Dangun's myth gave me faith, because, okay, this is my mission, because I was born as Korean. Also, I was born as a human being. So, okay, I have to do something to dedicate to the welfare of mankind. And then the other story is I was in a church, because still I hesitated to do, you know, put it into action, put my project into action, because I wasn't sure if it can be successful or not. But I was in church on Easter Day, and I the priest told us one line from the Bible, and it said, Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. And then I realized that even though, you know, storytelling is not the thing we can see, but I strongly believe in the power of storytelling. So that's why I've been committed myself to introduce the power of storytelling to Korean people. Oh, so then I'm a person who is so blessed. And then I found a very interesting YouTube video of you know, Korean American businessman. His name is Tim Haas, and he's established a farm in Philadelphia in his garage after he got surgery of, you know, heart transplant. His story goes like this. When he was 29 years old, he got 7 houses in the USA. Actually, he was, you know, his father immigrated to the U.S. And at the time, you know, he was a Korean. That's why he experienced so many racism. And then his childhood was not happy. But he didn't care about it, and he started very hard, and he became one of the directors in his company of, you know, I think he worked for a construction company. But so he got a good car, he got 7 houses, and he had a beautiful wife. So his life was, you know, seemed perfect. But one day in the highway, his heart stopped for a while. And when he was awake, after a while, he realized that he got fainted. And then he visited the doctor, and the doctor said, if you want to live, you have to do the surgery. You have to get the surgery. You need, you know, heart transplant. So he had to stay in the hospital to wait for a, you know, new heart for him. He had been waiting for 5 months. So for 5 months, he, you know, read Bible 3 times. And then he realized that what was wrong in my life. And he realized that he just lived only for himself, not for others. Then he, you know, talked to himself, from now on, I will live for others. Then, and finally, he got a good news from his doctor. They got a, you know, healthy heart. Then he said, yeah, it's time for me to get the surgery. Then I will be born again. But the doctor sighed and he said, you know what, 3 days ago, we have a, you know, woman who is in emergency situation. So she needs also, you know, heart transplant. If we don't do it in 3 days, she will die. Then Timothy was in trouble because he, you know, he announced that, oh, my life will be for others. So he thought and thought, and finally he visited his doctor again, and he told him, oh, give that heart to the woman. So she got surgery, and she, you know, got her life back. And but in this time, Timothy was in emergency situation, so he was unconscious. And then all the people in the hospital started to pray for him. And then finally they got a heart, but it was not healthy heart. But the doctor told it to his wife and his brother, but they all said, but you know what, we don't have any choice. So just to, you know, do the surgery, but don't tell him he got, you know, unhealthy heart. So that's the way he did the, you know, first heart transplant. Then without knowing that, he really worked so hard. He established his own farm called the Team House in his home garage. And with the mission, we exist to help those in need. So now he became, you know, one of the most successful Korean-American businessmen in the U.S. And then he became a pastor. He influenced a lot of people. So I start to think, okay, after all these stories, what I can do is just do my best to put my all heart and passion in that project. Maybe it is not my own will. It will be God's will. So that's why I was in Kansas City at the NSN conference.
Well, what a interesting mix of stories, and to hear some inspiration of what mission you're on. Let's see, Singha, if there's any questions right now. Does anybody have a question for Singha?
This is Tricia, and I don't really have a question, but I just have to say, Singha, how much I enjoyed your stories, all of them. The one that I think will stay
Thank
with
you.
Me. You're very welcome. The one I think that will stay with me so much is the one about how the car, you know, about helping the children, because I thought, what an inspired way to engage others with a story. And that, as I was listening, I thought, you made everybody part of the story. So they weren't just hearing a story. They were characters in the story, and they were curious as to how the story was going to end. So I'm just so struck by that, and I will carry that and tell others about it. So thank you so much. So I don't really have a question.
Oh, my pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thanks. Anybody else have a comment or a question at this point?
This is Phil White. I'm sorry I didn't get to meet you in Kansas City. I wish I'd had the opportunity. In any case, I'm curious about the, I guess, the position that you hold as that that initial modern storyteller, and what you feel like were any special obligations you might have, or as that role model for modern storytelling?
I strongly believe that we storytellers are artists. At the same time, we are activists. So I strongly believe the power of storytelling for making, you know, better world, and also this world needs storytelling, the power of storytelling. And then at the same time, as a person, I always, you know, we are not perfect, but I can get needs from stories. For example, when I'm sad or when I'm angry, I always need the help of stories. So that's why I think maybe it's not only me, but also others. So that's why I want to spread out the power of storytelling and how, you know, enjoyable, you know, the life can be when you meet the world of storytelling.
That's great. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
have you noticed big difference between storytelling in the U.S. or Canada and then storytelling in South Korea?
Oh, yes. What I've noticed is in Canada, they usually tell more folk tales and share, you know, culture. But at NSN conference, I heard a lot of personal stories, which were so touching. So I think this will be a kind of good combination, because stories are only, even though if it is a folktale, it is not only about the past issues, it also covers the current issues. At the same time, our personal story will be a folktale, after 100 years. So I think it's a good connection.
I love that.
Yeah, so I think it's a good connection of, the magic of storytelling, because through stories, we can live in the past, we can live in the present, and we can live in the future. So I think it's a good experience for me to meet American storytellers. And in Korea, still, I have to do many things because, in Joseon Dynasty, the Confucianism ruled all the people's, mind. That's why it is not comfortable for people to tell their own stories if it is a kind of, shameful stories. And that we... Nowadays, it is very hard for people to accept their mistakes. Then they are so afraid of, making mistakes in public. So it is kind of a suppressing situation. But I, as a Korean, I realized that storytelling can release our soul by telling, the truth. And then we can also accept ourselves by telling our own stories, because it is, the oldest stories, we cannot see, perfect heroes. They were small, and then they were poor, they were not perfect, but at the end, they found themselves, and that's the way they became a hero. So I think maybe through folktale, through personal stories, we can influence a lot of people and inspire a lot of people to speak out and to be themselves. It will be a good chance for them to speak out and then to be brave, to tell their own stories and share their own, stories together. So that is why I decided to establish, storytelling center in Korea to give them more chances to tell about their life.
And as you think about your storytelling center, would it be a building that people would come to and you'd have classes? Or how do you envision it?
Yes, I have a very clear picture of the center. I would like to make a theater and seminar rooms on the first floor to show storytelling is an art form. And then also it is a powerful tool of education. So what I'd like to do is, on the second floor, I'd like to make test rooms so that storytellers from all around the world can come and stay for free, because I found that, storytellers have to help each other. So my vision is maybe the storytellers from all around the world can come to the center so that we can provide the opportunities for them to perform and give workshops. So that's the way Korean people can be educated. And then at the same time, we can share cultures For example, if somebody is from Kenya, they can introduce African culture to Korean people. Vice versa, the person can study about Korean culture while the person is in the center. So it's kind of, you know, cultural exchange program. Also, we can, that's the way we can help each other. Also, in Korea, Korean government has a lot of budget to promote Korea or Korean culture to the world, so that if I establish the foundation, I can get more funding from Korean government so that I can make good use it to promote Korean culture with the help of storytellers from all around the world, because you've been doing for many years, and then you know how storytelling is useful for people and exchange cultures or inspiring people. So maybe also storytelling can be applied to different fields. So that's the way we can show how useful storytelling is. So I really want to establish storytelling center and storytelling foundation in Korea.
Mm. Is there, in the U.S. here, many businesses are embracing storytelling, for instance, for their sales staff to help people have a series of stories that might have to do with their product or about how good the service is with the company. And in a similar way, for management, they're using storytelling to help people convey messages, inspire employees, open up the phases of their business where they're trying to develop new product, and using story in all those kinds of different ways. Mm-hmm. Is that happening in South Korea too? You know?
Yes, when I started storytelling in Korea, it was 10 years ago at the moment when I mentioned storytelling, and then people asked me, oh, what is storytelling? What as a storyteller, what do you do? Even nowadays, you know, not many people know more about it, but now more and more people started to be aware of importance of storytelling, including Korean government. So they need, practitioner, and practitioners, and then they need people who have more experience in it. Actually, I've been teaching storytelling marketing to Korean people. Also, I used to teach prisoner guards how to use the storytelling for the prisoners, and also I also teach storytelling to juvenile delinquents.
Yeah, could we stop for a second? So you had the prisoner guards learning storytelling to help with their guarding. Describe that a little bit. That sounds really interesting.
So there's an education center run by Ministry of Law in Korea. And then mostly when the prisoners were released and they, you know, it is very hard for them to be hired because people, you know, have their own prejudice and, you know.
Yes.
So that's why Korean government decided to educate them as an entrepreneur so that they can open their own business after being released. So I was one of the, teachers who taught them how to use, you know, storytelling for their business. At the same time, you know, they have to be truthful to themselves because they cannot tell a lie to people all the time. So first of all, they have to heal themselves. And that's why I taught prisoner guards how to tell stories to the prisoners, at the same time how they can use storytelling, you know, from marketing point of view. So I had been doing that for 3 years, and then it was very successful. And then still now some prisoner guards contacted me, and then they said it was very, you know, interesting, you know, session for them.
What kind of stories do the guards tell the prisoners?
This, you know, the story of Kyle is crying.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle is crying. Actually, it is from America. So the one day a dove was in Mesa to harvest guaki grass, and she cut her hand. She was crying. Ooh. At the time, coyote was passing by, and he came to the dove and he said, "Oh, what a lovely song you're singing. Teach me that song." But the coyote said, "No, I'm not singing. I was crying." And then, you know, the story goes like that. So that story inspired, you know, prisoner guards to think in prisoners' shoes. At the same time, the story motivated people to tell their point of view. For example, you know, coyote thought the dove was singing, but it was not. Dove was crying. So that's the way we can, you know, think of other people's situation, not from our, you know, point of view. So the truth itself is always, you know, be found by listening to others. So then the prisoner guards also started to be interested in listening to their prisoners. And then the prisoners started to tell their own story, why they committed a crime, and then as a person, what made them, you know, in that situation, what drove them in that situation. So then it's the way also for prisoners to think of others' point of view. So, yeah, that story helped people to think of other people's situation. At the same time, I taught them different stories for them to express themselves. So, yeah.
Wow, you're involved in so many different things in so many different ways. That's wonderful, and it's been a great discussion. We're about to the end of our time, but we'll give another chance here if anybody has a question that they're wanting to ask. Now is an opportunity.
This is Tricia again, and Singla, I'm wondering, do you write down your stories? It sounds as though you use a lot of things that are already existing in folk tales. I'd just be curious if you talk about your process. How do you find stories? Do you write them down? Do you commit them to memory? How do you hold on to them once you find them? How do you find them, and how do you hold on to them?
Actually, my grandmother, she became a widow at the age of 33, and she passed away at the age of 93. For 60 years, she read a lot of books to soothe her loneliness. I was her second roommate. You know who was the first one? My grandfather. I was her second roommate. I was a baby who cried a lot. So, but she found that the only way for her to stop my crying was telling stories. So since then, you know, I heard a lot of stories. And when she passed away in 2009, I decided to establish Arirang Storytelling Company in memory of her. And so most of the stories are from her. And then I studied, and then sometimes I wrote down, especially my specialty is in Pansori stories, which is a Korean traditional musical storytelling. It, that story, now, at the beginning, maybe we had 12 stories as a pansori form, but now only 5 stories are survived. And then I had to get those scripts from pansori singers or through online. Actually, that performance, you know, runs 5 hours up to 9 hours. It's a long, you know, performance, but I had to shorten it into 1 hour or 1.5 hour show. That's why I had to study all the scripts, because each school has different scripts. So which means, you know, the theme and the characters are the same, but the way they tell is a little bit different. And also even the story itself are different. Then that's why I just study story. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I have to write them down. And also I had to go to see the performances. And mostly I listen to many stories.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Great. Let's just, as we finish up here, mention your website again. It's ariongstorytelling.com. And that is that spelled, well, what could you spell it for us, Singha?
A-R-I-A-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I-R-I arirangstorytelling.com.
Okay, so that's
A-R-I-R-A-N-G, storytelling.com.
Great. So people can look you up and follow you and follow the progress of the Storytelling Center in Korea and your world tour.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for staying up or getting up so very early to talk with us today. It was a very interesting conversation, and we wish you all the best of luck. And
thank you.
Yes. So,
This is Cora. I'm the one that spoke to you in the hallway at NSN, and I appreciate you being a part of this. And I just typed in
your
website, and it went straight there, and it's all great.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
It was wonderful meeting
you.
It was great meeting you at NSN. Thank you for being there.
Yes,
thank you, my pleasure.
Thank you too.